The holiday season, when families get together, is the perfect time to gather family information and preserve family histories. Young people are encouraged to do so every year by the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration. Joining me to talk about the annual project are Connie McIntyre, the founding executive director of the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration. She joins us by phone. Fran Hamilton, the Granny Annie founding associate director, is with me in studio. Also in studio are Karis Perona, author of one of the family history stories compiled and published by the Granny Annie folks. Her mother, Kristen, is also with us. Thank you all so much for being with us. It's like a family gathering today, isn't it?
Thanks for having us.
Connie, good to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you, Don, for inviting us.
If you would, very briefly, just for those who have not yet been initiated to this annual event that we have here, just tell folks who Granny Annie was.
Oh, who she was?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to. Granny Annie is a dear friend of mine who I got to know quite a number of years ago when I was working with her and her family to preserve their family stories. Her mother was a wonderful storyteller and had quite a treasure trove of stories, and they wanted to make sure that those didn't get lost or forgotten. And she, Anne, was such an inspiration and helped me see the value of family stories, not only for the family, but for the community, immediate community, and the wider community of the world. And so that idea led to the Granny Annie.
All right. Well, I'll turn to Fran now. And Fran, for the last 12 years, I guess, or 13 years, you've been collecting and compiling these stories. Tell us about that process.
Well, we invite students everywhere, young people in grades 4 through 8 in the United States, or homeschooled or international students of corresponding ages, to interview their older relatives and write about something they find interesting from their family history and share it with their extended family and submit it to us. And we select each year about 3 dozen stories to publish in a book.
And you have one that I have in front of me now, and I suppose you're going to be working on yet another.
We've already received one story.
One story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when will that be finalized?
Well, the submission deadline is not until February 1st, so people have a lot of time now to interview their families during the holidays when extended families tend to get together. It's a great time to do interviews. Then they have time to write their stories, revise their stories, get feedback, revise some more, and submit the stories to us, and then the next book will be out in May. So it's a quick process.
We'll have information on our website as to how people can get involved. We'll link to your website
at
stlpublicradio.org. Connie, let me just come back to you before we talk to the other folks in studio here. Fran had indicated when she came into the studio that maybe something new is going to be happening this next time around.
That's exactly right, and I'm so excited to be able to tell you about it. We've decided this year to open up the selection process to the community. So as Fran said, when the stories all will be submitted sometime between now and February 1st is the deadline for submitting your story. And so the month of February becomes a very busy month for the Granny Annie Volunteer Selection Committee. And they will be reading all of the stories that are submitted. Each story is read by at least 3 people, and sometimes as many as 7 or 8 people read it, an individual story. And gradually, the stories are narrowed down, and because, of course, we can't, unfortunately, publish every story we receive, we usually publish about 35 stories, roughly. So when the selection committee gets to the point where we have around 40 stories selected and we're on those last few decisions that are so difficult to make because all the stories are so amazingly wonderful, we're going to really want to extend that invitation right now, invite community groups to take part in that part of the process. And I'm talking about like civic organizations or book clubs or church groups, any group of people in the community who wants to support students and literacy and history and family and art. It all comes together in the Granny Annie. So any groups who are interested in reading about around 40 Granny Annie stories and giving us some feedback as to which ones are their favorites and helping us decide which 35 or so we're going to publish. We would love for you to email us, and we'll be in communication with you between now and February and let you know exactly how that's going to happen. But it's a wonderful opportunity, like I said, to support students and support literacy and read some really wonderful stories.
You're making more work for yourself, Connie.
I can't help it. It's just so wonderful to share the stories, and we thought this would be a fun way for the community, like I said, to be involved and support the kids. And when you think of all the time and effort and heart that these students and families and teachers put into their stories, it's really a wonderful thing to behold, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. So we just wanted to make that available to more people.
We'll get that information out on our website, as I mentioned. Now let's talk to Karis Perona, who was one of the youngsters who participated in the program. How and why did you get involved, Karis?
So at my school, it was like an assignment, and so we all had to like write a story. So I just had heard about the story of my great-grandfather riding the orphan train. So I thought this was like a really just a good story to write about.
We're going to hear that in just a moment. Let me talk to your mother, Kristen, with regard to your family getting involved in all of this. Did you have any reservations about family matters being made public?
You know, that's an interesting question, because my in-laws, Donna and Jocko Perona, were so open to share the story with us. I felt that it was completely fine for us to share. It's part of America's history. And even though it's part of our family history, it really is our country's history as well. And the more we can inform people about what happened so that certain aspects of history don't have to happen again, yeah. I was all in.
What do you think overall of this project and this concept of preserving family histories?
Well, it's interesting. I'm in my mid-40s, and the older I get, the more important I realize it is for us to not only know our history, to understand who our families are, why we are the way that we are, but also then to impart that on to our children so that they can impart it onto their children, but also so that they are able to make informed decisions, so that they can live with wisdom. And I think knowing as much as they can know will help them be really thriving adults.
Fran, we've talked about this every year, but time does go by sometimes too quickly, and we lose the people who have this information, and it's too late.
It's gone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gone forever.
Right.
So that's why this is so important, mm-hmm. to take advantage of this time when people are together. Okay, back to Karis. Do you want to just set up this? We're going to play your story. Just set it up for us, if you would.
Okay, so this story was of my great-grandfather, and he rode the orphan train from New York to Kansas.
And what was the orphan train, or will we find out when we hear your story?
The orphan train was when kids whose parents couldn't, like, afford to take care of them, or kids who didn't have parents anymore, would go from a place to, like, another place, like Kansas, usually to, like, work on farms and stuff.
All right, well, let's listen to us. This is Karis Perona's story.
1928, New York, New York, to Atchison, Kansas. I've faced some ups and downs, but mostly my life's been great. I have food and a roof over my head, and I've never imagined life without them. Some may say I took my life for granted, until I heard the story of my great-grandfather. With no shoes on his feet or a blanket when the weather dropped, he only knew poverty. In Italy, Jim's parents had their own American dream, but America didn't go exactly as they dreamed. They spent their last penny to buy tickets to America and journeyed from their homeland to the dreamland. At the end of the day, they had cuts and scars for little pay and had 6 children to raise. As if their situation couldn't get any worse, Jim's father died. Jim's mother was never around. She worked before the sun rose, and Jim was already asleep when she returned. With no other choice, Jim's mother had to say goodbye to her 2 oldest children. Jim was only 6 and his sister was 7. At such a young age, all Jim could wonder was why. Soon, he and his sister would leave the busy streets of New York City and ride to the quiet plains of Kansas on the orphan train. Jim will never forget the expression on his mother's face as she sent him away. Jim walked onto the train, heart pounding, leaving everything as he stepped on some dirty train. All he could hear was crying, babies who didn't know better, kids who missed their parents, and his own weeping. Jim looked out the window to see his mom for his last time. He saw tears roll down her face. Why would she do it if she was so devastated? Despite all the crying and screaming, Jim managed to fall asleep as the sun began to set. Morning came, and Jim no longer saw the tall buildings and bright streetlights of the city. Instead, he saw cornfield after cornfield. "Do you really think we'll find a home for all these kids?" Jim heard an older lady say to a man. "Yeah, nowadays people need extra help on their farms. Most of these kids will just work, but it'll be fine. Better than their old life anyway. Plus, the siblings don't have to be in the same family." Was this really true? Jim dreamed of nice, loving parents, but now they'd probably beat him if he didn't work hard enough. And without his sister, she was all he had left. Would anyone want him? He was all alone with nothing left. As days went by, Jim found a family who took him in like their own. Sadly, he never saw his sister again, but he persevered through the adversity he faced to live a better life. He even went on to serve our country in World War II, conquering hardships and suffering to provide a better life for Americans. The hardships my great-grandfather faced have made me more grateful for my life.
Very nicely done, Karis. You have a flair for the dramatic. I think you've got a future, maybe in radio, but you certainly read very, very well.
Thank you.
Kristen, is there a postscript to that story?
Is there a postscript? Mm-hmm. I was able to know Jim, who rode the orphan train, my father-in-law's dad. He passed away around the age of 90 or 91, mm-hmm. and his funeral, they did the military shots at the cemetery. It was a very honoring way to end his story here on Earth. But what's interesting for me is I actually grew up in the New York City area and married a Kansas boy and didn't understand why this Italian family was so all-American and not Italian at all. But that makes perfect sense now. And so the postscript is that we are very open. We are open about the brokenness in our family. We are open about the healing in our family. And hopefully it will encourage all of us to be better parents to our children and our grandchildren.
Well, you've got to be very proud of Karis.
I'm incredibly proud of Karis. Yeah. And yes, she does have a flair for the dramatic. She's an actress.
Is that an ambition of yours, Karis?
Yes.
Well, good luck to you in that. Connie, let me come back to you. How have these stories changed over the years, or have they?
I think the amazing thing about the stories is that they just keep coming, and every one is so unique. Each year, as the stories arrive, Fran and I are surprised and delighted again to see that there are stories on themes that we've never read before or published before, and it's such a tribute to the uniqueness of each human being. I think is that each person has a unique story to tell, and then when you combine that uniqueness with this tie that connects us to each of the stories, you know, we read these stories that come from this story, of course, is a very American story, the story we just heard, but many of the stories in the Granny Annie took place on other continents. This year's book, the 12th volume of Granny Annie, took place on there are stories taking place on five different continents, and stories with characters that go back as many as six generations from the young authors who wrote them. So we might tend to think that these are stories that are so unique and different that they're very different from us and that we might not have a connection with them. But the fact is there's this human thread that really just comes through in every story for me when I read them, and I realize how what a small world it is, and in spite of some of the things I might be hearing or reading day to day from stories from around the world that tend to try to convince me that that we're not all connected, I can see it very differently when I read these wonderful little stories.
Fran, one of the things I've noticed over the years in reading these stories is that there almost a disproportionate number of them that relate to World War II and the Holocaust, and this year no exception.
Well, yes, we did have a lot this year, and we have published a book. In fact, for our 10th anniversary, we wanted to publish a special collection, and so we chose World War II because we had received so many stories on that topic. And we have a book titled Echoes from World War II, Young Writers Sharing Family Stories. And it's an amazing book. The stories took place in 20 different countries and, in fact, came from authors in three countries, not only the United States, but also India and Moldova. So you're really getting a varied perspective on the war. And the book as a whole tells the story of the war itself, from Hitler's rise to power to a Japanese American looking back on the war 25 years after it ended.
It's an interesting history. I mean, I've read them, and it is most interesting to read, particularly from a young person's perspective.
It makes the war real, just as Karis's story makes the orphan train real. You know, you can hear about an orphan train and carrying children from New York to Kansas, but when you hear how it affected one person's life, it makes the whole thing come to life.
And looking back to the lineage of it and thinking of these people who lived and died perhaps years ago, but the generations continue, just as Kristen and Karis have told us here. Fran, our time is winding down, but what kind of representation do you get from this area in terms of submissions?
Well, we get a number of stories from the St. Louis area, but we get stories from other states as well. We've had some submissions from other countries, not a lot, but a few. We have some schools that participate year after year, and fortunately, we seem to have some new schools every year, because sometimes when teachers retire, sadly, the next teacher doesn't pick it up, and so we've lost some over the years.
Right. Connie, a final thought from you as we near our goodbye?
Yeah, I would like everyone to know that the books are available, this year's volume of Granny Annie, which is volume 12, and also the Echoes from World War II book that Fran just mentioned. They can be ordered through the books page on the Granny Annie's website and also through Left Bank Books. And the World War II book is also available on Amazon. So we invite you to take advantage of that opportunity and maybe include some Granny Annie books in your Christmas shopping or holiday shopping.
All righty. Well, good advice for this particular season. Karis, are you going to encourage friends of yours to do this year?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you talked to them about it?
Yeah, a lot of them had written for Granny Annie last year also, so... Right.
And Kristen, what about you? How are you going to tell parents they ought to be encouraging their kids to do this?
I'm going to tell parents. I'm also going to tell Karis's cousin, who will be with us for Thanksgiving. Yeah. He actually lives in Kansas, but this would be a great opportunity for him. And I work at an elementary school, and I'll be advocating for Granny Annie there as well.
Yeah, you've got a gold mine there.
There you go.
Potential submissions. Well, thank you all so much for
being
with us. Happy holiday to all of you, and let's get those stories written, folks. Connie McIntyre, Fran Hamilton of the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration, and Karis and Kristen Perona, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations to you, Karis. Great job on that story. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.